Time once again for our monthly informational conversation with Pardee UNC Healthcare. It's Stroke Awareness Month, and we have with us Dr. Callahan, board-certified neurologist at Pardee Neurology Associates. Dr. Callahan, great to have you back with us again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. I'm happy to be here today to talk about stroke and bring awareness to this problem in our community and really all over the place.
Great.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Let's start with a very broad question, and that's, what do people need to know about strokes?
Well, sometimes people will call stroke a brain attack, but really what it is a disruption of blood flow to the brain that leads to disability, and it's one of the number one causes of disability in the United States, and actually the fifth leading cause of death. Stroke occurs when there's lack of blood flow to the brain. And so depending on which part of the brain is affected, then the symptoms will vary accordingly. And when the blood goes without, when the brain goes without blood for a period of time, then those cells can die, and that leads to the permanent disability that can accompany stroke.
Are all strokes the same, or are there different types of strokes?
There are different types of stroke. The most common type of stroke is what we would call an ischemic stroke. And that's what happens when a blood clot lodges in a vessel and keeps blood from flowing down to the tissue. About 10 to 13% of these strokes are hemorrhagic strokes, where there's actually a rupture of a blood vessel or leaking from a blood vessel that causes blood to spill over into the brain tissue that causes the symptoms. But most of the strokes we talk about are these ischemic strokes, where there's a blockage of blood flow. And that's caused by some of the typical risk factors that you think about when you think about vascular disease. Some strokes are very brief, and what we call a TIA or mini stroke, where the symptoms may only last for a few minutes to several hours and then resolve. But even a brief episode like that can be a warning sign for something that may be more dangerous for the patient and still requires attention.
We want to remind folks that there is a virtual stroke seminar coming up, and we're going to tell you all about that in a moment. But first, let's just continue our conversation with Dr. Callahan. Dr. Callahan, I am certainly no doctor, but what I do know is that time is of the essence when you are showing signs of a stroke or a mini stroke. So can you talk to us about those signs and what to do?
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right that with strokes and TIAs, getting prompt medical care is super important, because we have a lot more tools in our toolbox for the first few hours of when these symptoms occur than we do for trying to fix things down the road. So it's important to know the warning signs of a stroke. And the signs can depend on the part of the brain that's affected. So we have some sort of acronyms that we talk about with patients. One's called BEFAST, B-E-F-A-S-T. And the B stands for balance. So if somebody has a sudden onset of maybe dizziness or vertigo or imbalance or difficulty walking, the E stands for eyes. So any sudden change in vision, whether that's double vision or vision loss. F is face. And so facial drooping or facial asymmetry that comes on suddenly. A is arm weakness. So any weakness in your arm on one side especially. That could also be leg too. And sort of an appendage would be an acronym. Speech difficulty is the S, so slurred speech or difficulty getting words out. And then T stands for time, as you were alluding to. Time is of the essence. We can do a lot more to help reverse some of these blood flow issues and restore normal function to brain tissue if somebody comes into the emergency room very quickly. We have between 3 and 4.5 hours to provide life-saving and brain-saving therapies that can be given through an artery within those first few hours of the stroke. We do have some other tools that are available if people come in outside of that 3 to 4.5 hour window, but that requires a lot more coordination of care, and sometimes that has to be delivered at a hospital that's not here in our community, maybe up in Asheville. But still, the sooner we get this treated and the sooner we restore blood flow to the brain, then the better the patient does. So if people can remember that acronym of BEFAST, when they are experiencing a new sudden onset of symptoms, then if they have any of those symptoms, then they should call 911 and get to the emergency room immediately.
Is there age discrimination with strokes? You know what I'm asking. Is it more prominent for older, or do we, even as younger adults, do we need to watch for these same items that you just talked about?
Well, if you had asked me this a year and a half ago, my answer would be a little bit different than it is now. Certainly with typical risk factors for vascular disease, such as long-term smoking or untreated hypertension or poorly controlled hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, those are very normal risk factors for all sorts of vascular disease, whether it's heart, limbs, or your brain. And then aging itself can lead to some damage that accumulates over time in blood vessels. So, of course, older people have an increased risk of stroke as they age. And then genetics, which you can't control, have a lot to do with it as well. Some families just are prone to vascular disease. But in this age of COVID, what we have seen is that because of infection with the COVID virus, that can cause clotting in blood vessels and in the body. And so we've seen young people come in with strokes related to COVID infections. And that's been pretty well recognized throughout the world. So just because you're young, if you have any of these symptoms, don't think that you are not able to have a stroke. It's still important to get care right away.
Yep.
And there are also some other medical conditions that predispose young people to stroke, and those are much more uncommon. But again, the takeaway point is that if you have any sudden onset of symptoms where you're losing bodily function, don't delay and don't see if it's going to get better, but come on into the emergency room and let it be assessed.
All right. Again, we want to remind folks that Pardee is hosting a virtual stroke seminar coming up. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But one more question for you, Dr. Callahan, if that's OK. You've been generous with your time. You talked about age discrimination. We talked about the signs. What can we do to reduce the risk of stroke?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. As I said, we have a few tools in our toolbox when somebody has a stroke and they come into the emergency room. And those tools have been around for the past 20 years and have been life-changing for many, many people. But prevention still is the primary way that we help people as far as outcomes with stroke. And 80% of strokes are preventable. Again, you can't do much about aging and genetics, but there are lifestyle choices that you can make, such as not smoking. And if you're currently a smoker, then stopping smoking does actually lead to improvement of your risk factors. So just you may think that just because you've been a lifelong smoker that there's no point in stopping now, but stopping smoking actually can help reverse some of the damage that's caused by smoking. Limiting how much alcohol you drink. If you are drinking excessively, then that can lead to vascular disease and can lead to heart disease too, which can increase your risk of stroke. A Mediterranean diet with healthy foods like vegetables, fruit, and lean protein, whole grains, healthy fats, watching your weight. Those can all limit vascular disease and your risk of stroke. Getting regular physical exercise. If I had a way to write a prescription and put it into a pill and have people walk every day, then that would be one of the most important things that we can do, not just reducing risk of stroke, but cardiovascular disease, helping with diabetes, improving memory function and cognition. Exercise is just pivotal to a healthy lifestyle. Losing weight. So weight reduction helps reduce risk of obstructive sleep apnea and the strain that's put on your heart. Getting your annual physical exam with your primary care doctor and making sure that your blood pressure and your cholesterol and your blood sugars are all within normal ranges. And if not, taking the medications that they're prescribed to treat those conditions the way you're supposed to lower that risk of stroke down the road. So there are many things that we can do both in the medical end of the spectrum and also in the personal lifestyle choice end of the spectrum to reduce the risk of stroke.
Okay, great. Thank you for that information. So now let's talk about this upcoming virtual stroke seminar that Pardee is hosting featuring you. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we tend to try to reach out to the community in a very deliberate fashion during May because it's Stroke Awareness Month. But with restrictions and risk with the pandemic and just trying to be aware of the safety precautions and comfort level of people in the community, we're hosting a virtual stroke seminar and question and answer session on Tuesday, May the 11th at 6 p.m. And I'll go into more detail about recognizing stroke symptoms, risk factors, prevention and recovery. During that time, just to answer some general questions about what a stroke is and what people can do to be aware of it and to help reduce their risk. And then at the end of that presentation, participants will have a chance to ask questions, and we'll try to get to as many of those as possible and really kind of elaborate more as the community that's participating in this has questions about it. And then some Participants on the webinar will be eligible to receive a free limited stroke screening that we're offering on May the 20th. And when you sign up for the webinar, there'll be more details about how you may qualify for that stroke screening. And if you're interested in joining, then you can sign up at partyhospital.org or call 828-698-7333 for more information.
And once again, that virtual stroke seminar is on Tuesday, May the 11th, this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. Again, 698-7333 or by signing up at pardeehospital.org. Dr. Joel Callahan, board-certified neurologist with Pardee Neurology Associates, thank you so much for your time with us, and thank you for providing the seminar to help folks basically tomorrow night, Tuesday night. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me on and to talk to our community.
Absolutely. And once again, if you'd like to learn more about stroke treatment at Pardee, visit pardeehospital.org. That is also where you can sign up for the virtual stroke seminar, or again, give them a call at 698-7333.